greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. This is kind of going to be a negative topic. Looking at the topic of us suffering in the last days. And especially us as Christians, we have a promise that we will be called to face difficulties, persecution, suffering in the last days. And our text verse is verse 18. It says, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" And I think it's a sobering verse when we think of the difficulty we have in our time as believers to remain steadfast, the difficulties we face, and what God requires of us. But if it's difficult for us, we know there's definitely going to be a judgment on those that reject God. This last song we sang, it was very fitting for this topic. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall never overflow. When thou walkest through the fire, the flame cannot harm thee. For I am thy God, I love thee so." Through all our suffering, we have the promise that God loves us and he will be there with us, making us able to bear whatever he sends to us. I think I'll read this whole chapter now. "Forasmuch then as Christ hath," this is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. "Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So here in these verses, Peter encourages the believers to welcome suffering if it comes their way. And we have not really needed to suffer much up to this point in our day and age. And I think Satan has tried that and found out that it didn't work very well for his agenda. When he brought physical suffering to the saints in the 1500s, it just strengthened the church. And we know that we have no promise that things will continue to go well for us. As a matter of fact, I think we probably will need to suffer physically, probably more at some point in the future. And we know that even in our day and age now, there are still many Christians suffering in other parts of the world, suffering physically, being persecuted. But for us here, we don't necessarily face much of that. But I think Peter was probably writing, or this physical suffering he's writing about was beginning to take place around him, and it did increase after this as well. We know that Jesus suffered for our sake when he gave his life for us, and we should, by what he said, we should not see suffering as a strange phenomenon. And we will suffer. We all suffer. You know, after the fall, one of the things that I was thinking about brought me to studying for this, or thinking about this topic, was the much suffering we have around us, among us, physical suffering. And this is because of the fall, because of consequences of the fall. We live in a time, physical bodies that fail, and it's not how mankind was created, but after fall in the garden, we know that we live with bodies that fail, and so that's why there's so much suffering among us, people suffering from bad backs and diseases and other calamities. It's part of life, is suffering. And we know that is something we all endure from time to time, is suffering. But suffering we are looking at more now is suffering for Christ. Suffering because of Satan wishing to lead us away, make us fall. We need to rejoice in suffering. Peter gives us two reasons why we should rejoice in suffering. The first being that we, through that, identify with the suffering of Jesus, meaning that just as Jesus suffered on our behalf when he gave his life for us, we too can now willingly face suffering as we live our lives for him. Now, Jesus expected persecution along the way to fulfill his mission on this earth. He knew from the beginning that his calling to die for us would be a life and a death of suffering. Peter is clear that we can expect to suffer as well. This is part of completing the mission that God has given to us as well. You know, we all have a mission to to the world, mission to of witnessing, mission that God has given us, and it will require suffering. And a lot of our suffering, like I said before, is not maybe physical suffering, but more a spiritual suffering. We should be ready and willing to suffer for Christ as he did for us. In doing so, we will set the course of our lives away from sin, especially the mind-numbing sins of endless pleasure-seeking. The second reason we need to rejoice, or we should rejoice in suffering, is because it means that we will be partakers of the glory in heaven when Jesus returns a second time, which will be soon, I think. And I think the end of time is drawing near. We can see that. It's a separate topic. I'd like to get into that sometime, how prophecies are being fulfilled. We know that the nations are aligning themselves against Israel. That is spoken of as a sign of the last times. And we don't know exactly what the fulfillment of all that will be. And depending on our view of prophecy, maybe our time of suffering will be cut short, maybe the rapture. Like I believe the saints will be spared from some of the end time events like that. The bride will be caught up. But regardless of our view of that, we know we can turn with you to Revelation chapter 21. And look at two verses here, verses 3 and 4. Breaking in here, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." This verse shows us that we are looking forward to a time, if we are faithful now, when all the suffering and pain of this present world will just be a memory and it will fade away. Time of suffering will be exchanged for a time of joy, a joy that will not perish or not spoil and will not fade. Peter goes on to say that if we are reproached or suffer on account of our faith in Jesus, then we are blessed because it is a proof that we have the Holy Spirit, whom he refers to as the Spirit of glory and of God. Speaks. In verses 12 and 13, speaks of that. "Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Verse 14. "If ye be reproached," or we could say blasphemed, or evil spoken of, "for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of or blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified." Is that not the most beautiful gift we have as believers in Jesus, knowing that the Holy Spirit lives in us, in our lives? Peter reminds us that even though the name of Jesus is blasphemed, those that persecute us, those that trouble us, the fact is that his name is being glorified in the process. Let's allow him to be glorified in us. I think too often in our suffering, we just try to endure it and we don't allow him to be glorified in the process. In our suffering for Christ, our response should be such that those who are persecuting us, those who are speaking evil of us, those making it hard for us, should see what a loving God we serve and see how God is glorified in us. We know that looking at next part here. We know there are two kinds of suffering. There's, first of all, or A, suffering we face on account of our faith in Jesus, which is what we're primarily focusing on today. And then B, there's also the suffering that we bring upon ourselves because of our wrongdoing. In verse 15, Peter reminds us of this kind of suffering, reminds us not to live in such a way that we bring suffering on ourselves. He says, none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. He mentions some ways that we can do that by taking other people's lives, stealing other people's belongings, or doing evil to others, and getting involved in other people's affairs. I think the common thread that he's talking about here, uses to link all this, is that we should not take advantage of other people. All of these, basically, is taking advantage of other people. And we should be doing the opposite. We should be doing what we can to bless other people. He then says if anyone suffers as a Christian, they should not be ashamed of it, but should rather glorify God through it, because to suffer for the sake of Christ is truly an honor. And for this, we should glorify God. All right, now let's look at verses 17 through 19. Peter then reminds us that when the day of judgment comes, Lord Jesus is going to begin judging not the world around us first, but rather the house of God, meaning the church itself. The reason God will judge us first is because we have been entrusted with the good news of salvation. We are required to live a new and a different life from those around us. There's some verses that also speak of this. Luke 12, verse 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. So, a different level of responsibility. Those of us that have been given this gift will be expected that we use it, that we are faithful to this salvation that was given to us. Peter goes on to say that if judgment begins with us, the very people of God, what will be the condition of those who reject Christ by not putting their faith in him? Then he goes on to quote Proverbs 11, verse 31. Proverbs 11, verse 31 says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. The righteous shall be recompensed. So if the righteous are judged in the earth, how much more will the wicked and the sinner be judged? That's what he refers to in verse 18. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Those who suffer because of their faith should realize that this is in accordance with the will of God. And like I said earlier, we face suffering in different levels, different things. We face physical suffering because our bodies are wasting away. The suffering we face may cause us to suffer a lot of physical harm, but He reminds us to commit our souls to God, souls that can never be destroyed by anyone on earth. Those who oppose us can at the most attack our bodies and take away our lives, but our souls are safe in the hands of God. And we can read that lightly. Think of those attack our bodies and we don't understand the tremendous pain and suffering that the martyrs faced when they were, when their bodies were attacked. It gives us a new appreciation for that when we sometimes face some physical pain, but I think God was faithful to help many of them through. But like I said, our fear should be those that would lead our souls away from God. Not those that attack our bodies, but rather that our souls would be destroyed. I'll just go to Matthew chapter 10 now. Read some verses here. It talks about not fearing those that kill the body, but rather kill the soul. It's verse 28. Actually, I'll read back up start reading verse 16 maybe. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. It shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's a key verse here that I want to look at, is he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Not those that endure most of their life and then give up, but the requirement is to endure to the end. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man shall be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is not enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Stop reading there. It reminds us. Again, going back to Peter chapter 4, verse 19, he reminds us to continue doing good to others. Don't stop just because we face suffering. Knowing that God, whom we serve, is not unaware of the good that we do. He is our faithful creator. If God, who is our faithful creator, is with us, and we know he is, then we know he has also given us all that we need to endure. It is obvious that he will be faithful to reward us for our faith in spite of all the sufferings we endure. We know that the end of all things is drawing near and the judge is coming. So instead of living for pleasure, we must be cautious that we remain clear-headed, focused, steadfast, so that we can live faithfully. And we must try hard to love each other well. Loving each other well is not a natural instinct, but it is required for us. Keeping their souls to him in well-doing. This thought of well-doing could be explored further, but I think we realize and recognize that that is part of our suffering in the last days is just that Satan would like us to turn against each other and not to be busy in well-doing. We must share and serve and speak to each other with God's gifts, with his words and with his strength. We must be strong. We must weather the physical difficulties and the spiritual difficulties, the spiritual suffering. Are we rejoicing in the suffering that we are facing? And I think part of the suffering that we face today, obviously not much physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering, is when we see others drawing back, see difficulties around us, people leaving the faith. But let's be encouraged, knowing that this is a sign that the end is drawing near, and it is only those that will be strong enough to endure to the end that will be saved. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning. We thank you that you came to this earth through Jesus, that Jesus suffered and died for us, that he was faithful in his suffering, and also that you have called us to suffer. We realize that it's difficult for us to rejoice in that, but we are called to rejoice, to know that we are worthy of your suffering. Just help us to be faithful in whatever difficulties we face, whether it is physical suffering, which we are promised we will face, and also spiritual suffering. And we see others drawing back and realizing that the end is drawing near and things will become more difficult for us. Our decisions we will probably need to make at some point in our lives yet. And we just pray that you would continue to help us to fix our eyes on you, realize that you have made a way for us and you will continue to make a way for us, that you will give us the strength and grace to face whatever you require of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.